Blog Talk Radio.
Redeemed by the blood.
Amen. Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. Let us pray. Hey, kind and loving Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us, Lord. We thank you for every opportunity we get to serve you and to praise you and to glorify and magnify your name. Please bless us, oh Father. Forgive us of our sins or trespasses, Lord. Help us to be more like thee. Help us, oh Lord, to overcome self and selfishness, Lord. Help us to hear your still voice, Lord. There's so much distraction in this world, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes upon you. Help us to keep our minds upon you so that we can grow, so that we can endure what is coming upon this earth in these last days, Lord. Please bless our friends, our family, and those around us, our neighbors, Lord. Be with them in a special way. And as you have commit the word, the gospel to us, may we preach to others. May we teach others. May we encourage others. May we study and pray for others, O Lord, so that our work on this earth will be completed. And we'll hear, well done, good and faithful servants. Bless us again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Again, thank you for joining us. I will just be reading today from Christ Object Lesson, Chapter 25, Friends, by the Mammon. Amen. And this is based on Luke Chapter 16, Verse 9. Luke Chapter 16, Verse 9 is what this is based on. It says, Christ's coming was at the time of intense worldliness. Men were subordinating the eternal to the temporal, the claim of the future to the future to the affairs of present. They were mistaken in fathom for reality, and reality for fathom. They did not by faith behold the unseen world. Satan present before them the things of this life as all attractive and all absorbing, and they gave heed to his temptation. And we see that is going on now. Satan is presented all type of distraction and amusement for us in this world. And many people, their minds are so observing these things that they don't have time for God, for praying, for reading, for studying, for afflicting their soul. They're so absorbed in the things of the world, the amusement, the food, the lights, the glitter. And that's what Satan is using to distract and deceive people. Continue. Christ came to change this order of things. He sought to break the spell by which men were infatuated and ensnared. In his teaching, he sought to adjust the claim of heaven and earth, to turn men's thoughts from the present to the future, from their pursuit of the things of time. He called them to make provision for eternity. And that's what you and I should be doing right now, making provision for eternity. And how do we do that, you might ask? And that is by storing up things, our treasure in heaven, where moth and rust and molested. And by reading, by studying the plan of redemption, accepting Christ as our Savior, having a relationship with him, talking to him, doing our devotion, our meditations, songs, reading, praying, you know, just having a relationship with our Savior. There was a certain rich man, he said, which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his good. The rich man had left all his possession in the hands of this servant. But the servant was unfaithful, and the master was convicted that he was being systematically robbed. he determined to retain him no longer. So he was going to, you know, get rid of him because he was not making the right decision. He was not taking care of his master good. Continue. So he determined to retain him no longer in his service, and he called for an investigation of the account. How is it, he said, that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. And that story also applies to us, brothers and sisters. We have been given a time on this earth to tell others about Christ, to you know, be his representative, to be disciple, ambassadors for Christ. And we will have to give account of the stewardship. We will have to give account of our time spent on this earth. What did we did? Amen. Continue. With the prospect of discharge before him, the steward saw three paths to his choice. He must labor, beg, or starve. And he said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. Cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their homes. So he called every one of his Lord's debtor unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto the Lord? And he said, 100 measure of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. So he was in the debtor just paid half of the bill, but not to the Lord, to him. So that's called robbery. He's stealing, right? Continue. Then he said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measure of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. This unfaithful servant made others share with him in his dishonesty. And we see that happening in our world today, even in the church, business, and friendship, in ministry. That is happening, brothers and sisters. Continue. He defrauded his master to advantage them, and by accepting disadvantage, they placed themselves under obligation to receive him as a friend into their homes. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he has done wisely. The worldly man praised the sharpness of the man who has defrauded him. We see that also happening. But the rich man's commendation was not the commendation of God. Christ did not commend the unjust steward, but he made use of a well-known occurrence to illustrate the lesson he desired to teach. Make yourself friends by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, he said, that when it shall fail, they may receive you into the eternal tabernacle. So many people making worldly friends, you know, friends that have money and possession, trying to be their friends so that, you know, later on in life, they think these people are going to help them and take them in. But God said we should not be friends of those in the world, because by beholding, we will become changed. We will become just like them, doing what they're doing, believing as they're doing. And that is not of God. Continue reading. The Savior has been censured by the Pharisees for mingling with publicans and sinners. But his interest in them was not lessened, nor did his effort for them ceased. He saw that their imp- employment brought them into temptation. Is your employment bringing you into temptation, brothers and sisters? The way that you're making a living, what you're doing, is it bringing you into temptation? That's the question we all have to ask ourselves. Is it taking away time from God, you know, us spending time with God or with family? Continue. They were surrounded by enticement to evil. The first wrong step was easy. Then the descent was rapid. To greater dishonesty and increased crime, Christ was seeking by every means to win them to higher aims and nobler principles. This purpose he had in mind in the story of the unfaithful steward. There has been amongst the publican just such a case as presented in the parable. And in Christ's description, they recognized their own practice. Their attention was arrested, and from the picture of their own dishonest practice, many of them learn a lesson of spiritual truth. And we have to take note of this. We have to be careful that we fall into the same trap. Continue reading. The parable was, however, spoken directly to the disciples. To them first, the leaven of truth was in part, and through them it was teaching. The disciple did not at first understood, and often his lesson seems to be almost forgotten. But under the influence of the Holy Spirit, these truths were afterward revived with distinctiveness, and through the disciples, they were brought vividly before the new convert who were added to the church. As the Savior was speaking also to the Pharisees, he did not relinquish the hope that they would perceive the force of his word. Many have been deeply convinced, and as they should fear the truth under the dictation of the Holy Spirit, not a few would become believers in Christ. The Pharisees have tried to bring Christ into disrepute by accusing him of mingling with publican and sinner. Now he turned the rebuke on these accusers. The scene known to have taken place amongst the publican, he hold up before the Pharisees, both as representing their course of action and as showing the only way in which they can redeem their error. And now it goes back to the unfaithful steward. To the unfaithful steward, his Lord's good has been entrusted for benevolent purpose, but he had used them for himself. So with Israel, that is God's people, Israel, God has chosen the seed of Abraham. With a high arm, he had delivered them from bondage in Egypt. He had made them the depository of sacred truth for the blessing of the world. He had entrusted to them the living oracle that they might communicate the light to others. But his steward has used these gifts to enrich and exalt themselves. So we see the Lord's people were supposed to be the light of the world. They're supposed to be the salt of the world. But we know if the salt loses its flavor, there's, you know, it's of no use. It's just thrown out. It's no good. Continue. The Pharisees, filled with self-importance and self-righteousness, were misapplying the goods lent them by God to use for his glory. The servant in the parable had made no provision for the future, the goods entrusted to him for the benefit of others he had used for himself. But he had thought only of the present. When the stewardship should be taken from him, he would have nothing to call his own. But his master's goods were still in his hands, and he determined to use them so as to secure himself against future want. To accomplish this, he must work on a new plan instead of gathering for himself to others. Thus, he might secure friends who, when he should be cast out, would receive him. So with the Pharisees, the stewardship was soon to be taken from them, and they were called upon to provide for the future. Only by seeking the good of others would they benefit themselves. Only by imparting God's gift in the present life could they provide for eternity. And I will read a couple more paragraphs before I close. And you can also go back and read this Christ Object Lesson, and this is chapter 26. After relating the parable, Christ said, "The children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Worldly wise men display more wisdom and earnestness in serving themselves than do the professed children of God in their service to him. So it was in Christ's day. So it is now. Look at the life of many who claim to be Christian. The Lord has endowed them with capability and power and influence. He had entrusted them with money that they may be co-workers with him in the great redemption. All his gifts are to be used in blessing humanity, in relieving the suffering and the needy. We are to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and to care for the widows and the fatherless, to minister to the distressed and downtrodden. God never meant that the widespread misery in the world should exist. He never meant that one man should have an abundance of luxury of life while the children of others should cry for bread. The mean over and above the actual necessity of life are entrusted to man to do good, to bless humanity. The Lord says, sell that ye have and give alms. Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Be ready to distribute willingly, to communicate. 1 Timothy 6:18. When thou makest a feast, the Lord said, call the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. Luke chapter 14, verse 13. Loose the band of wickedness. Undo the heavy burden. Let the oppressed go free. Break every yoke. Deal thy bread to the hungry. Bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. When thou seest the naked, cover him. Satisfy the afflicted soul. This is Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 through 7 and 10. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are commanded to do that, and that's taken from Mark chapter 16, verse 15. These are the Lord's commands. Are the great body of professed Christian doing this work? Are you doing this work, brothers and sisters? All that the Lord has commanded you to do and that you're able to do, are you seeking the lost? Are you seeking the poor? Are you feeding them spiritually and physically? We have a great work to do because we know that the Lord is soon to come, and he's going to ask us, what have we done name with the good that he has blessed us with? What have we done with it? Again, everyone will be required to render up his entrusted gift. In the day of final judgment, men for their wealth will be worthless to them. They have nothing they can call their own. Those who spend their lives in laying up worldly treasure show less wisdom, less thought and care for their eternal well-being than did the unjust steward for his earthly support. Less wise than the children of this world in their generation. Here, these professed children of light, these are they of whom the prophet declared in his vision of the great judgment day, a man shall cast the idol of his silver and the idol of his gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rock and into the top of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he rises to shake terrible the earth. That's Isaiah chapter 2, verse 20 through 21. So we see when Christ returned, these people will be hiding and they will want the rock to fall on them, because fear of the brightness of Christ have seen him. So, brothers and sisters, the lesson of this parable is for all. Everyone will be held responsible for the grace given him through Christ. Life is too solemn to be absorbed in temporal matters. The Lord desires that we shall communicate to others which the eternal and unseen communicate to us. So we should be communicating to those around us what God has communicated to us through the spirit of prophecy, through reading the Bible, through our devotion, through prayers, through him communicate with us, give us vision and dreams. Every year, million upon million of human souls are passing into eternity, unwarned and unsafe from hour to hour in our various life opportunities to reach and save souls are open to us. These opportunities are continually coming and going. God desires us to make the most of them. Days, weeks, and months are passing. And they're passing so rapidly, brothers and sisters. We have one day, one week, one month less in which to do our work. A few more years at the longest, and the voice which we cannot refuse to answer will be heard saying, give an account for your stewardship. Christ called upon everyone to consider. Make an honest reckon, put into one scale Jesus, which means eternal treasure, life, truth, heaven, and the joy of Christ in souls redeemed. Put into the other every attraction the world can offer. Into one scale, put the loss of your own soul and the soul of those whom you might have been instrumental in saving. Into the other, for yourself and for them, a life that measure with the life of God. Wait for time and for eternity. While you are thus engaged, Christ speaks, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And that's a question for you and I. What shall it profit us to gain wealth and, you know, all these things, worldly things, and lose our own soul and not be able to win other souls for Christ? What shall it gain us? In Isaiah chapter 13, verse 12, say, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. So God wants to help us. He wants us to be steward of righteousness, brothers and sisters. He said, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. So from the foundation of the world, the kingdom of God is prepared for us, but it's up to us to accept that free gift or to decline it, to do the work that God has created us to do, or to follow after an unrighteous mammon, which is Satan, even Satan himself. Let your property go before hand to heaven. Lay up your treasures beside the throne of God. Make sure your title to the unsearchable riches of Christ. Make yourself friends by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when it shall fail, they may receive you into the eternal tabernacle. But we want to make ourselves Christ-like, good steward. We want to be holy and righteous as Christ is, brothers and sisters. So I will end there. Kind and loving Father, again, we thank you for the short reading from Christ's Object Lesson, Father. May we reread it, O Father, and may we gain greater insight. May we gain wisdom and understanding from your words, from the spirit of prophecy, O Father, as you make these things plain to each and every one of us, O Lord. Please bless each and every one of my brothers and sisters. The unspoken prayer requests, as you know the hearts of my brothers and sisters. You know what they're going through, what their temptation is brought before them day after day. Lord, please give them the power, the will to overcome these temptations and to be victorious in your sight and in the sight of others, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify your name. We lift up the youth among us. We lift up the children, O Lord, that they will seek you and come to you as a child to their father. Lord, please forgive them, Lord. Help them, O Father, not to be like the world, and not to want the things of the world, Lord, but to seek you while you are near. We thank you again, Lord. We praise you, Father. We glorify and we magnify your name this day and forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.